But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to start here. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the safety of the campers coming up. And Lord, we know that it is your divine will that they're here. Because nothing happens by chance. You have designed everything. You are the sovereign God. You are the almighty God. You are the holy God. And Lord, as we just explore in the next few minutes here, a little bit about our relationship with you, I just ask that you would just open up our hearts and our minds, that your Spirit, Lord, do the teaching to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. So, how you all doing? Good, yay. Did you get enough to eat? Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, tonight we're going to be doing, actually, these three sessions that we're having here. Can you guess what it's about? About rocks. Now, boy, you are smart. I did not tell her that answer. Yet she came up with that on her own. How did you figure that out? Oh, there's rocks over here. Wow, okay, yeah. Do you know that God is often referred to as a rock? Did you know that? Quite a few times, David in particular, not just in the Psalms, 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 22, when David sings the song just before he dies, he's given praise to God, and he starts off that God is a rock. Do you know why they say that? Why is God like a rock? Because rocks don't change much, do they? If you notice that there's a big rock outside the drive when you pull in here, there's a big rock there, right? That rock has been there for a long time. I don't know. Ron, how long has that rock been there?
30 years.
Thank you for that accurate answer, I'm sure. But say it was 30 years, you know, something, that rock hasn't changed. You know, and that's one thing they talk and refer to God, because God doesn't change. God is unchangeable, immutable and stuff. But anyway, we have some really interesting things I want to talk to you about tonight. And the first thing I want to do is I want to play a little game with you. You ready to play games? You like to play games?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's not Monopoly. We don't have that kind of time. But we do have a game called What Is It? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe some ingredients, and you try and figure out what it is. Okay? Not real difficult, but here we go. Let's see if you guys can figure this one out. Here's the first one. Sugar, chocolate, cocoa butter, milk fat, soy, lecithin, natural and artificial flavors. What are we describing? Chocolate chips, I hear. I heard somebody say a candy bar. It's chocolate. Yeah, it's dark chocolate, because what the answer is, it's Dove. Dove Dark, that's my favorite. So there we go. They're very good. You guys did good. See, it's not hard, right? Let's do another one. Flour, oil, yeast, salt, mozzarella cheese, bacon, mushroom, sausage, tomato sauce. Oh, everybody got this one. It's pizza. Yay! Boy, you guys are really good at this. Wow. Grover would be so impressed. Another one? Bones, skin, cells, blood, hair, muscles, clothes. Okay, it could be a dog if you dress up your dog. And some people do that. But no, the correct answer I was looking for is a person. Mm-hmm. You said people? That's what we're after. That was that one. So let's try another, hey? Chapters, verses, printed words, red letters, a spine, and a cover.
Bible.
It's the Bible. People wonder right now, some of you, four or five people are trying to figure out a spine? What kind of Bible you read? For those of you who do not know, a book, the back part here, that's called a spine. So I'm not making that up. I wasn't stuck in there to fool you. That's what that was. So yeah, a spine. The Bible. There we go. Do you notice that if you find the ingredients of something, you can figure out sometimes what it is? That's the point I'm trying to make here. If you see the ingredients of something, you can sometimes figure it out. Okay, you guys have been so good at this. Now I'm going to give you a hard one. You ready? This is a hard one. Pink feldspar, biotite, quartz.
Rose quartz.
Who? Somebody, who said it? Who's?
Granite.
Granite. Very good. Yeah, it's a rock. Some people are saying rock. Well, you just can't say rock for this one because there are three main ingredients in that. And so we have some granite. And we're going to take a look at some pieces of rock and stuff. But did you notice? I'm going to go back for a second just to let you see. Maybe I'm going backwards. There we go. Oh, we went a little bit tar. Okay, what we have here, these ingredients, these three ingredients, pink feldspar, that's this here. That's feldspar, pink feldspar. Then it says biotite. Biotite I have over here. This is some biotite, really thin, but it's really pretty black. And then there's quartz, like here. These are called minerals. So we have minerals. It's not the same thing as a rock. Mm-mm. Because if you have the different minerals, you make up a rock. That's what that is. So what I want to go to now is I'm going to show you here on the microscope. Let's take a look at some different types of rocks. Now, we just talked about granite, and this is going to be, we're going to try this out here and see if we can see this. And because our TV went out in the back here, so I'm having to look on the side here. I can't really, I think we're, is that somewhat close to focus? Yeah, got enough nods there. So that's granite, and actually I'm going to turn on a little bit more light here and see if we can't zoom. Might not be able to do this because I can't see it too well from up here. But if you look there, you're going to see that there are some crystals, sort of whitish crystals. There's some black things, like over here. Here's some black right there. That's biotite. Over here on this one, it's right there. You can see some black. There's some pinkish color. That's the feldspar, but that's what we have. And that's ordinary granite. But you know, granite comes in different colors. Look at this piece of granite. Let's see if I can get this right there. Thank you. Yeah, just let me know because I'm behind the screens here. So what you're looking at here is another type of granite, but you notice there's no pink. Well, there's not much pink actually in this one. If you look at the specimen here, it's actually white instead of the pink color. So we have, it's another type of feldspar. This is called sodium feldspar. It's white in color. It has a cute little parallelogram. Those of you who know geometry and stuff like that, I might have just caused a nightmare right now by saying that, but yeah, it has a parallelogram shape to it. Feldspar does. So that's another piece of granite. Let's see if we can look at another type of stone here. This one is really interesting. How many of you are from Illinois? Holy cow, we've been invaded. Almost half this group is from Illinois. How many are from the Kankakee, right around Kankakee? It's the same hand. Okay, that area, Kankakee State Park has a lot of this type of stone here. And I'm going to try and see if we can get this on here. Looks like gold. Well, let's see if we can. There's going to be little tiny circles is what we're looking for. It's really hard to tell here. If I work from this way, maybe I can see it a little better. But let's see. Oh, see the circles now? See all those little circles? Those are called oolites. Actually, from a living thing. Isn't that weird? Yeah, this stone here that I'm looking at, right here, sort of prop it up like that maybe, this is called oolitic limestone. Kankakee State Park has a lot of this all through it. It's something that was, there was those little circle things were actually living things. How weird is that? But there's also limestone and a lot of something called calcite. This is calcite. So those little ooliths and calcite make this thing up. But that's what makes that one. Or let's take a look at something else here. Let's go to this rock. And again, if I turn to the front, we might be able to see this a little easier. Okay, what I'm looking for here, you're going to see a bunch of little rocks all put together. If I can get it to the right spot. Ooh, there's a big rock. See that one? It's stuck inside there. And there's a bunch of other ones. We can turn it over and see. But this is made up of a whole pile of little rocks that are like cemented together. There's a little rock there. Oh, there's a bunch. There's a really nice bunch of rocks in there. So this is a rock made up of a bunch of rocks all cemented together. This is called conglomerate. That's just what they call it. It's got a whole pile of different rocks in it. So that's that one. You can tell what that is. Oh, this is a really pretty rock. This is called gneiss. And it's like a granite. Only it's got, again, let me come around the front since I can't see. This one has got some really cool colors to it. It's white, but it's got lines in it. See the lines? The lines are biotite. That's this black stuff here again. That's that. And this has white. This has this feldspar. But this is not a quartz because it's got these lines that go through it. It's a really pretty, pretty rock. We have one of these over here, too. There's one, as you can see, there's some nice lines. Can you see the lines in there? See that?
Yeah.
It's made of the same thing as granite, but it's got in science, they call it foliation. It's just lines. You know, in science, we always have to use a confusing term to make sure that no one understands what we're talking about, or everybody thinks we're smart then. But that's that one, this is a really cool one. This is called phyllite. I like this one because it's so shiny. It is really shiny, like little gold specks all over. Gold specks and black specks. These two minerals are what we're looking at. That's the primary things in here, and it's really pretty. Nice, pretty rock. It has a pretty shine to it. Just even in the light, you can see how this sparkles. Isn't it pretty? These are found around here. This is a very common rock up here. Let's take a look at another one. And so if you know what the ingredients are, you can a lot of times figure out what the rock is by just looking at the ingredients. This one, you'll see little gold flecks in it, right? See the gold? Okay, it's not real gold. I wish it was. Rich. We would be very rich here. We have a lot of this mineral up here. This is called muscovite. Very, very common. It's in little flecks all over. I'll tell you, when I first came on staff here a long time ago, about 18 years ago now, I was walking on a rainy day through the parking lot, and I saw little flecks coming down from the hill up here, the tubing hill. It would just got done raining, and all these little flecks of gold looked like were just pouring down through here. And I was like, oh my gosh, is there gold around here? So I went and asked my best friend, Ron, and Ron said, oh yes, there's gold around here, which that is true. They do find gold in this area. People do prospect for gold here. It is true. So then I went down to what is now the Nature Center, that building back there, and we had a campfire ring there, and I picked up one of the stones by the campfire ring that had got really hot. And had a lot of this muscovite in there, and it looked just like gold. I actually sent it to a professor, a geologist, asking him, is this real gold? And he said, no, you have real muscovite. And I said, how come it looks so shiny like metallic? He says, what'd you do, put this in a fireplace or something? I said, well, it was in a campfire ring. He says, there you go. So if you get this really hot, it will take on the appearance of like a metal. It's really cool, but that's not what it is. This is called schist. That's called schist, and it's very shiny. It's a really pretty rock. We have this all around here, of course. I have another one here I want to show you. You're going to like this one. Where do you see this one? Now, notice the big pieces of like stone stuck in this thing. There's one right there. Let me get my little pointer. So what I'm looking at is this thing right here. There's another one here. There's another one there. There's another one there. Over on this screen here, 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 and here. These are garnets. Mm-hmm. Anybody born in January? That's your birthstone. The garnet. That's in schist. Schist sometimes can be found with garnets in it, and that's what we have here. But the point is, we're looking at these different minerals. The whole lesson I'm trying to show you is, if you know the ingredients of something, you can sometimes know what you're looking at. And sometimes if you know what you're looking at, you should be able to find those ingredients. Like when I started off with like the granite. By looking at the granite, you see pink in color, feldspar. We can see the biotite, the black, and we can see the crystals, the quartz. All three of those minerals are in there. But you know, we're going to turn this off for a minute. And if you examine, go back to the, if you examine a rock, you see different minerals, right? That's what you just got done looking at. You see different minerals when you look at a rock, because a rock is made up of a bunch of minerals. But you know, there's something else that we can learn about this. Well, I'm going to move to the next slide. Go. If you examine a person walking closely with Jesus, there's certain things that you should be able to see. Just like when you're looking at a rock and you see like granite, and you can see the three pieces here that make up the granite, when you see a person, a true Christian, somebody who is born again, a person who's walking close with Jesus, you should see a few special things too. Now, you're not going to see feldspar and quartz, but you will see certain things that are characteristic of that, that we see in that type of person. Now, these things I'm going to show you do not make you a Christian. These are things that you see in a Christian's life. Just like you would see feldspar or quartz and granite, these are things that you should see in a person's life if they're walking close with God. So, in looking at these things, let's take a look. The first one is, and I'm going to put a slide back on here, so if we can switch back and see if you can, if we can find the word. Praying. Very good. Praying. Christians, true Christians, pray. It's part of their life. It's a big part of their life. Though none of us probably pray as much as we should, even the famous theologian John Wesley was asked towards the end of his life, if you could do anything over, what would you do different in your life? He says, I would pray more. Prayer. That's a biggie. That's a really important thing that we should. People should pray, and a lot of people pray. Even non-Christians pray. A lot of people pray, but true Christians should be praying also. And it's really simple. You know, it's you don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to have your hands folded. You don't have to have your eyes closed. I remember when I was a little boy in church, my aunt and uncle were in the pew right behind me. And the pastor got up and started praying. And I was looking all around. I was, I think, 5 years old at the time. And I looked around, and my aunt and uncle standing right behind me, they're looking straight down at me. And I'm looking up. They're looking straight down. And I went, hey, Mom, what? Aunt Ruth and Uncle Gene, they're praying with their eyes open. That's wrong, isn't it? And she said to me, well, are your eyes open? Well, yeah, but I had to see. Well, so, yeah, it didn't work too well. But you don't have to pray with your eyes closed. You know, you can pray driving a car, and in that case, do not close your eyes, unless you're at a stoplight. Don't close your eyes when you pray when you're driving a car. But prayer is like that. You can do prayer any place, any time. It is a remarkable gift. It's a very powerful thing. But a lot of times, all we think about when we pray, think about, a lot of times, what do we pray for? Aren't we making like a shopping list, really? We sit down, okay, God, I need this. God, I want you to do this. God, do this, do this, do this. And we run through this whole praying thing, and we're just making a shopping list. And that's not quite right. We're not supposed to be doing it that way. And, you know, some people think that, you know, you need to tell God what you want. Guess what, folks? God already knows. He already knows everything. He already knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. So you don't have to tell God specifically. You're not praying to tell God that, hey, God, maybe you're asleep at the wheel right now, but do you know what's going on over here? You don't have to do that. God already knows. Prayer is like that. We can pray for things many times we don't even need. I remember as a little kid praying, because I heard of a verse one time that says, if you pray in the name of Jesus, you'll get anything. I remember praying, my brother, I'll tell you how the story goes. My brother, he was 7 years older than me. He had one of these train sets, electric train set, and he would never let me play it. because for one, it was those old-fashioned ones. If you touched the rails with your hands, you could get electrocuted. One of those. So I was never allowed to touch it. But he was always, yeah, I get to play with this. You don't. I get to play with this. So I thought, okay, I'm going to top him. God, in the name of Jesus, I want you to give me a real locomotive. Just stick it under my bed tonight. And when I wake up, then I'll have that and I can show him off. That didn't work. Guess what? I never got a locomotive. Now, we many times pray some really bizarre things, even things we shouldn't get. And then we get angry with God when because he knows what's good for us and what we should have and what we shouldn't. And then when we don't get what we want from God, then we get mad at God. It doesn't seem right. And why do we even put on the name on at the end of our prayers? How many times do we say in Jesus' name? You hear that all the time, right? Why do we say that? Let's go back to the slide here for a second. It's because of this verse. John 14:14, it says, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's a promise from Jesus. So I thought, hey, if I ask in Jesus' name, I'm going to get a locomotive. I never got a locomotive. We pray this many times. We always seem to tack on. As even an adult, I do the same thing. Many times I'm praying and it's like an automatic thing. Right at the end, it's like a signature thing I put at the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Really? Do you know what we're really saying when we say that? I'm included too. I do the same thing. It's like, okay, God, I know that you know what's best for me and what you want to give me and stuff, but I don't want you to pay attention to that. I want you to give me what I want. I don't care if you want me to have it or not. I want you to give it to me, and that's why I'm asking this. See, that's the way sometimes I pray, and that's not right. What Jesus is saying here, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it, there's a clause to this. We have to be walking with Jesus. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. But also, what he is saying here is it's got to be in character with Jesus. Me getting a locomotive had nothing to do with Jesus, with doing anything having to do with God. This past winter, we were in here. I was speaking to a large group. There was a college student who was here that the group told me that this guy was coming along. He'd never been to Fort. He had never been to a Christian thing. But four or five of the leaders came up to me and they said, would you please pray? Let's get together and pray that this guy finds Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior during this weekend. So we did. We stood outside the dining hall, even though it was cold. We stood outside. All of us got in a circle and we started praying. Now, the thing is, we're praying for this and we're asking, because this would be, you know, something in line. Jesus wants people to be saved. So we are hoping that this is part of God's plan. And guess what? That guy accepted Jesus. Now, I don't know if it was directly from that prayer, but I can't help but think that that prayer sure didn't hurt because God did that. Now, he won't always do that. We don't understand why. It's too hard to figure out. We're not supposed to figure stuff out like that. But that's what a lot of people do. Let me show you another thing about prayer. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Has that ever puzzled you? How we're supposed to pray all the time? Is anybody praying right now? What does that mean? Pray all the time. Well, when am I supposed to sleep? What? When I'm eating my Cheerios in the morning and my Fruit Loops, I'm supposed to be praying. I'm driving down the street, I'm supposed to be praying. I'm sitting in school, taking a math test, I'm supposed to be praying. Well, I guess I do pray a lot then. But when bad things, I mean, all these little things going on, I'm supposed to be praying all the time. When I'm playing baseball, I'm supposed to be praying. Michael, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. It doesn't mean that you are 24 hours sitting there, like, that's not what that means. What this means, and this has puzzled a lot of people, but let me try and explain what this is talking about. Y'all have a best friend? This is like having your best friend come over for a day. Your best friend comes over. Think about who your best friend is. Your best friend comes over, spends the whole day. He gets there right when you wake up in the morning. He's going to stay there until you go to bed at night. Now, when you're with your best friend and you got the whole day together, do you ignore your best friend? No, you walk around and you talk things. Hey, look at that over there. Yeah, I see that. What is that? I have no idea. What's this we're eating today? I don't know what this is. Well, it'll be good for us. Let's talk. Let's dissect it. Or, oh, look at that rock. Is that rock not cool? Or, oh, look at that cloud. Doesn't that look like a butterfly? A butterfly? What did you do? Get hit in the head? You know, and you talk with each other like that when you're with your best friend, right? That's what this is talking about. God is everywhere. He is with us all the time. He never goes off and takes a nap. He, even when we're sleeping, it says in Psalms that he is constantly thinking about us, waiting for us to wake up so he can spend more time with us. This is like realizing that God is with you and you just talk with him all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to verbally, "Hi, God, how are you this morning? I'm doing fine. How are you?" People will think you're nuts. But just going through the day, just talking, like your best friend is there. That's what that is talking about. To be in the mindset that God is right with you through the whole thing. That's what that's talking about. Let's go to another slide. What's another ingredient that we see with true Christians? Oh, you see it, the Bible. To study the Word of God. That's a biggie. Christians study the Word of God. You know something? How many of you skipped all your meals today? You didn't eat one thing today? You trying to die or something? I could probably go for a couple of days fasting. They say camels can live off their fat for 8 weeks. We weren't supposed to laugh at that one. Now, if you don't eat every single day, or you cut back on your meals really dramatically, how healthy are you going to be? You're not going to be very healthy. This is how we feed our souls. True Christians will study the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. It is so necessary. Many theologians say this, and I agree with it. You cannot grow spiritually without studying the Word of God. Now, in the summertime, I speak to the summer staff. Quite a few of them are in here. And every single summer, for like the last 5-6 years, the same thing has happened. Not the same person, but I've had the same thing happen. Or some high school student or college student will come up to me and say, "Michael, can we talk?" "Sure, let's go over here and we'll talk." What's up? What's going on? My spiritual life. Nothing is going on. I'm not growing. I feel like I'm regressing. I really don't feel close to God. I don't know what's the matter. My first question is, are you sure that you're a born-again Christian? "Oh, yes, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior." Okay, well, that's the first thing. My second question is, have you got some major sin that you've done that is blocking and hindering your relationship with God? And every time they have said the same thing. "No, I can't think. I've thought about that, but I can't really picture anything that's some major thing." When I do something wrong, I try to confess. I said, okay. Third question, how often do you listen to God? What do you mean listen to God? How often do you study the Word? And in every single circumstance, they have said this to me. "I don't." There's your problem. How do you expect to grow without being nourished? We wouldn't think of skipping a whole day of meals, but many times it's like a chore to even pray one time. You want to grow spiritually? Start getting into the Word. Not just reading it, study it. Study it carefully, like they taught you in middle school on how to take a sentence and break it down and studying what it's saying and the words that are used, the adverbs, the verbs, the nouns. Study the Word of God. Guess what? You get to grow because there's power in the Word of God. That's what true Christians need to be doing too. We get power this way. We grow this way. True story. It's mentioned in the Bible, Acts chapter 17. We're going to switch back. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul went to a town called Berea, and he talked to these people about Jesus. Then it says in verse 11, talking about these Bereans, it says, they searched the Scriptures day after day. They were growing. That's how you grow. You got to study the Word of God. That's how you grow. So that's what this is about. And also, this is so important, God tells us more in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, 16, 17. Look what he says. "You have been taught that the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you, or they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ." Stop here for a second. You notice it says the Word helped with salvation? There's power there. I know in my personal case, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the Bible. I mean, so it was a person talking, but it was what the verses were saying that convicted me and really got me. Yeah. Picking up, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. This is really important stuff, folks. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and to equip His people to do every good deed. We need to be studying the Word of God. That's what this is saying. So just as you fed your body today, you need to feed your soul. Do that by studying the Word of God. It'll help you grow. Let's go to the third slide. Let's switch back. This is the third ingredient that we find in true Christians. Serving. Right. We are supposed to be in ministry. Now, you don't have to be an ordained minister. All of us being Christians, if you're a born-again Christian, you know when you become a Christian that God puts a spiritual gift, at least one gift inside of you? And you are supposed to use that to help the whole church body. And we're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to do good deeds. We're saved by grace to do good deeds, to help and do things. And God has given every single one of you, if you're a born-again Christian, at least one gift. Gift-wrapped, all beautiful, He hands it to you, He gives it to you, because He puts His Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, do you use that gift? Won't it be embarrassing to one day stand before God, come up to His throne, and you've got this gift still, and sort of making a little drama out of it, it's still wrapped up, it's never been opened? How many of you gave a Christmas gift this week? Gave away a Christmas gift? How many of you got a Christmas gift? How would you feel if you gave somebody a Christmas gift and they never opened the package? You go back to their house next year, you find the exact same gift still sitting there with all the wrapping on it. How would you feel? You'd feel bad, wouldn't you? You'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you? It wouldn't be a good feeling. But I think that's how some people are with their spiritual gifts. And I think there's going to be a day when a lot of people have to stand before God and God says, I gave you these gifts, why didn't you use them? Well, God, I was sort of busy. Oh, really? I don't know what kind of excuse we can use, but that's something that we all need to learn. We don't want to be embarrassed in front of God like that. And there are so many spiritual gifts. Going back to the PowerPoint here for a second, just showing you real fast. When you become a Christian, did you know God places at least one spiritual gift in you? These gifts, you can read about them. They're found in Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and also 28 through 30, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and there's even more. But those are some of the main passages where you can find these wonderful gifts. There's all different types of gifts. There's gifts for praying. There's gifts for comforting. There's some for teaching. There's for giving. There's gifts of mercy, telling others about Jesus. There's so many gifts that God gives us, and He gives us those things for us to use. Now, some people use them, and they don't use them for God. That doesn't really do much good. We're supposed to use them in the way God wants us to use them. And like I say, I think it'll be embarrassing to a lot of people when you get down to the end. Now, we have seen that rocks are made up of different minerals. And by finding out what mineral you have, you can find out what rock it is. The same thing, though, is true of real Christians. If you look at a real Christian, you should see three things very obvious. Just like you would see feldspar, quartz, biotite in a granite, you should be able to see prayer, studying the Bible, and serving. If not, we're not the healthiest we could be. That's what we need to focus on. Three parts that Christians should be showing. Now again, please understand, these things don't make you a Christian. A lot of people pray, they're not going to heaven. There's a lot of people that read the Bible, they're not going to heaven. There's a lot of people that serve God, they're not even going to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is through grace, by what God gives us. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8, it says, you know, we are saved by grace through faith. Nothing that we do, it's a gift from God. And we're saved keep reading the verse, you get to verse 10, it says that we're saved to do the good deeds and to do things for God. That's what it's talking about. So we are saved, but when you become saved, these three parts should just stand out. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Maybe you've been challenged to think about, wow, one of these areas I'm not doing too good on. Well, this year, we're getting ready to start a whole new year. How about let's make a pledge? Let's promise to sort of work a little bit more on some of these things so we can be spiritually healthy. Father, we thank you so much for this time here we have, and I just ask that you would just take these three things and your Spirit would just teach us and help us, Lord, to grow. Prayer is so interesting and is so necessary. It's how we talk to you. Reading your Bible is how you talk to us. And Lord, help us to find these gifts that you've given us. There's so many tests that we can take on the internet and through churches, have books and stuff to help us find the spiritual gift. Lord, help us to find our gift and to use it for your glory, to bring more people into your kingdom. Lord, I pray for all the people in this room that they will be growing better by doing these three things. May your Spirit just work upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.